KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde in for Ross Reynolds. When Gene Robinson became bishop of the Episcopal Church in New Hampshire, he had to wear a bulletproof vest to the ceremony. He was the first openly gay bishop in a major Christian denomination. Gene Robinson says critics of same-sex marriage are wrong from a biblical perspective. His new book is called God Believes in Love, and Gene Robinson joins us now. Gene Robinson, thanks so much for being here.
I'm delighted, David. I had hoped to be with you in person, but the hurricane here on the East Coast kept me from getting to Seattle.
We've been hearing about that. Well, thank you so much for being able to do it by phone. You dedicate this book to your parents, and it says, and their inspiring 65-year marriage. And I'm wondering what it was about your parents and their marriage that was so inspirational to you.
My parents were tobacco sharecroppers in Kentucky and incredibly poor. I didn't live in a house with running water until I was 10 years old. So they dealt with pretty extreme poverty and very difficult lives. They were very, very religious, and of course I grew up as a part of that in the Disciples of Christ denomination. But over the years, I think the thing that impressed me about their marriage was that marriage seemed to bring out the best in each of them. And my dad, who had left high school, or not even high school, had left school in the eighth grade. When I was 12, went back and got his GED degree from high school. So I'm one of the few people who actually attended my parents' high school graduation. Went on to become the fire chief of Lexington, Kentucky. And so I saw them over the years just become these really wonderful people, and I think it was the security of their marriage that allowed them to do that. And I think that's what's so terrific about marriage at its best, is that it allows each person to become their best selves.
Gene Robinson's the former bishop of the Episcopal Church in New Hampshire, and he makes the case for same-sex marriage in a new book called God Believes in Love. Gene Robinson, how much was religion, you mentioned a little bit, but how much was religion a part of your childhood?
It was enormously a part of my childhood. As a matter of fact, I sported a little medal on my sport coat that I would wear to church that signified 13 years of perfect attendance at church. So, I never knew what it was like not to be in the church, and from an early age, really felt called to the ordained ministry. And have been able to live that out in my life. And in 2 months, when I retire, I will have been an ordained minister in the Episcopal Church for 40 years.
And when did you first realize you were gay?
I would say somewhere around age 12 or 13. I tell this story in the book. Friends of mine somehow got hold of a Playboy magazine, which I will say was much less risque than what you can see any day on TV now. But I realized as we were looking at these pictures that what those pictures were doing for my friends was not happening for me. And almost at exactly the same moment, I knew I better not say that it would not only endanger our friendships, but probably would endanger me physically as well. And so I began what has been so true for gay and lesbian, bisexual and transgender people for almost forever. I began this kind of bifurcated life. There was the real me, and then there was the me that I showed the world out of fear for what would happen if I showed the real me.
Episcopal Bishop Gene Robinson's new book is God Believes in Love. So when did you and why did you decide to get married to a woman?
Well, I very much wanted a family. And, you know, I had wonderful relationship with girls and young women. And I had this terrible thing going on inside me. And indeed, as a young adult, I got into therapy twice a week to cure myself of this this affliction.
Why did you do that?
Well, because I believed what the church had taught, which was that that homosexuality was an abomination, and that I was repugnant to God, and those are the messages that many Christian denominations are still putting in the heads of kids, and teaching them to be self-loathing. Because if God can't stand the side of you, how can you stand the side of yourself? And so, you know, I prayed to God to relieve me of this awful thing, and I got into therapy and got to a place where I really felt that I could be in a relationship with a woman. I met a wonderful woman, and within 2 weeks of meeting her, let her know that what few relationships I'd had been with men, but that I'd been in therapy and indeed was ready for such a relationship. And still, about a month before we were married, I broke down one night and cried and said that I was afraid this would rear its ugly head someday. And she said, you know, if that happens, I think we love each other enough that we together will deal with it. And 13 years later, we did. And believed that in order to live up to our marriage vow, to honor one another, we would have to let each other go. And we did that. And she continues to this day as one of my very good friends. She was actually a presenter at my consecration as a bishop 9 years ago.
Bishop Gene Robinson's book is God Believes in Love. Gene Robinson, who are you with today?
I'm sorry?
Who are you with today?
Well, about a year and a half after my former wife and I separated and divorced, I met Mark Andrew, who was working at the National Office of the Peace Corps in Washington, D.C., that was 25 years ago, and we are still together. We had a civil union when that was allowed in 2008 here in New Hampshire, and then when we achieved marriage equality in 2010, we are now officially and legally married.
Bishop Gene Robinson's book is God Believes in Love, and in it he makes the case for same-sex marriage, the biblical case for same-sex marriage. And I want to get to that in just a minute, but I also wanted to ask you, you know, you eventually got involved with the Episcopal Church, and I'm just wondering if we could take it sort of closer to the present and find out how you became, you know, the first openly gay bishop of a major Christian denomination.
I actually began work for my predecessor in 1986. I was the assistant to the bishop for all 18 years of his ministry as a bishop here. So everyone in New Hampshire got to know me. I worked in every congregation. And in the Episcopal Church, it is the clergy and laity of a diocese who actually selects their own bishop. It's not done from outside or by anyone else. And so they wanted to call me to be their bishop. I think it was a total shock to them that anyone would particularly care that I was gay. They didn't care. They certainly knew, but they knew me and they knew my ministry, and so it never occurred to them that the world would explode when someone openly gay and partnered was elected bishop. So it came as a bit of a shock to them and to me as well.
What made you feel called to become a priest and ultimately a bishop?
You know, I describe God's call to me, at least, to be like a nagging little dog nipping at your heels, just won't let go of you. You first think, oh, that couldn't be me, that I'm not worthy of that, and what kind of life would that be? And God just won't let you alone about that, and keeps calling to you. And at the end of the day, you have to say, okay, I understand you're calling me to do this, but I can't, I won't, I just don't see how I can. Or you say what Isaiah said when he was called by God, here am I, send me. And it's been the best, most wonderful decision I've ever made in my life.
Bishop Gene Robinson, I want to get to the Bible here because there's a lot in here about that. And here's a quote from the Bible. It's Leviticus, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is abomination." I think a lot of readers of the Bible think that's pretty straightforward. What's your perspective?
Well, first of all, let's just note that this is about a two-day discussion that we're going to have in about 2 minutes here, right? Because the Bible turns out not to be so simple and straightforward, partly because it was written between 2,000 and 3,000 years ago, depending upon which part of it you're reading, and everything has to be taken in context. And indeed, most of the biblical scholarship that's been done in the last 50 years has been about the context in which those words were written, and also the context of the surrounding cultures. And much of what is written in the scriptures is in response to the pagan cultures around it. So what I think before you look at any one passage, you have to look at the whole issue of context and how we're going to take this. There are many, many things in the scripture that those who would claim to be biblical literalists discard. You never hear the fundamentalist quoting Luke's gospel, in which Jesus says, "If you want to be a follower of mine, you must give up all your possessions." So this simple reading of scripture is really bogus. There is no simple reading, and we need to be using the minds that God gave us. So in that particular case, in Leviticus, and there are actually two passages similar to the one that you read, we are talking about a set of laws called the Holiness Code that the ancient Hebrews used to delineate themselves from the cultures around them. And it has a lot to do with how procreation was regarded. I mean, the science has changed, the context has changed. And what I would argue is that, in fact, the ancient world did not know homosexuality as we know it. That is to say, the whole notion of sexual orientation, that a certain minority of us would be born affectionately oriented towards people of the same gender rather than the opposite gender, is a construct that's only about 140 years old. And so when the ancient writers of the scriptures are talking about same-sex behavior, which they did know about, they are assuming that everyone is heterosexual, and so to be acting in a so-called homosexual manner would be against one's nature. 140 years ago, we began to understand that heterosexuality may not be everyone's nature, and that a small minority of us might be oriented towards people of the same gender. So at the end of the day, I would say that Scripture does not actually speak to the questions we are asking today about faithful, monogamous, lifelong intentioned relationships between people of the same gender. The Bible is just silent about that. But the Bible is not silent about how we are to live out all of our relationships with integrity and faithfulness. And so I would say that those passages that seem to argue against it are actually about something else, and the Bible is filled with prescriptions for healthy and wholesome relationships.
Bishop Gene Robinson, you also bring up the fact that there are other purity codes in the Bible, such as those forbidding the eating of shellfish. What's the connection there, between the two?
Yes, so that holiness code includes all of the kosher eating laws. It says that you are not to plant two kinds of seed in the same field or wear two kinds of cloth on your body at the same time. And we have tossed those aside as not being eternally applicable to all of us. Now, the kosher laws, some feel that Jesus did away with that in the New Testament, but even so, there are many things in that holiness code that no one would argue is binding on us today.
And Bishop Gene Robinson, what does Jesus say on the subject of being gay?
Well, Jesus, as far as we know, and as far as recorded, never said anything about being gay. Again, being gay was not anything Jesus knew about any more than any of the other ancients in the ancient world. But what he did live out in his own life was really a very alternative lifestyle. I mean, here's a guy who was unmarried in a culture that virtually required it. He spent most of his time with 12 men. He had three men that he trained especially for leadership, Peter, James, and John. And then there was this disciple, John, who was known as the one whom Jesus loved. He was also, he knew about families of choice that went beyond biological families. Once his mother and brothers came to take him away, they were a little bit worried about him becoming so public and so popular. And he says, who are my mother and who are my brothers? They are the ones who did the will of my father. So he knew about families of choice, as gay and lesbian people do today. So what I would say is that we don't know what Jesus thought about homosexuality, because it was not anything that he knew about any more than he knew the world was round rather than flat. But we do know that he himself sought out a very different sort of lifestyle from the prevailing normative lifestyle of his own culture. We also know that he just went totally out of his way to embrace those who were disenfranchised, the dispossessed, those on the margins of society. And it's hard to imagine that Jesus would not be sympathetic to and advocates for gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people today, as he was for lepers and tax collectors and prostitutes in his own day.
Bishop Robinson, I want to end. I've just got about a minute and a half left, but I wanted to ask you if you had to kind of sum up your views about why this issue of same-sex marriage is so important to you. What would you say, especially to people who say, as you asked the question in one of your chapters, what's wrong with civil unions?
Well, you know, this is about respect. It's not, at the end of the day, it's not about tax laws, which are unfair. It's not about rights and privileges, which have not been granted equally to all of our citizens because gay and lesbian people are barred from them. What it really is about is respect. Respect for each person being the child of God they are, and the respect for each of our citizens. You know, we claim that it's liberty and justice for all, but the fact of the matter is, it has not been for all. And you know, when your partner is bleeding in an emergency room and possibly dying, that is not the time to be instructing the hospital staff on what a civil union is. If you're able to say to them, I'm married, they know exactly what that means, and you are allowed to be with your loved one and make those difficult decisions. This is about whether or not America is going to value all of its citizens, or whether making some of them, or continuing to make them, second class. And so I think it is about respect, and it is about full citizenship for all of us.
Bishop Gene Robinson, the book is God Believes in Love, Straight Talk About Gay Marriage. Thanks so much for being with us today. Today's program was produced by Arwin Nix with help from Molly Williams. Andy Hurst was your engineer.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.